Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenlith, and I finally went back, listened to the first part of the recording, and I remember what I was talking about. The rise of autism. Now, I have to tell you that Lisa, my wife, and I have differing views on this, and I will strive to tell you my view, and you can determine for yourself what you think, how you think this is, how you think it should be. When our son, Matthew, first got diagnosed with autism in 1994, 95 territory, there was still a lot of interesting things being discussed about it. Number one, it was rare. It didn't happen very often. And also people were pretty much saying, oh, it's not a genetic thing. Now, that's mostly a political statement. They wanted to say that because they were trying to fight back from the old conception that autism, which was very rare back then too, there used to be an old idea that these were from refrigerator moms. They couldn't give love, they couldn't take care of their kids, and this is how their kids reacted to it. That they were kind of created by the environment of that they had crappy moms. Well, the pendulum swung back, and they said, you know what, it has nothing to do with how the moms treated them. It doesn't matter if they're a wonderful mother. An autistic kid will still be autistic at the end of the day. You know, they might do better, but that doesn't mean they're going to be beautiful and wonderful and everything is just going to be hunky-dory. You know, it's just not the way it's going to be. So they decided at that time that they said it was important to swing the pendulum back so much so that they were going to make it and they were going to say, well, you know, we don't think it's a genetic thing. We think it's just an abnormality, which is easy to think when it's so rare. If it was a genetic thing, there would be more of them, they thought, you know, just because of the nature of the beast. Well, it wasn't too much later, probably 5 or 6 years later, at the very end of the 90s, the beginning of the 2000s, the aughts, I don't know what you call them. Anyway, all of a sudden there was this huge explosion in autism diagnoses. It was everywhere. And all of a sudden it became one of the most, it's become the fastest growing diagnosis. Now everybody thinks there's a political thing behind that, and there may be. I'm not going to say that there's not, but I think there's other things at work here too. The funny thing is it's only happening in a couple of pretty isolated places. And the funny thing is those isolated places happen to be where there are a lot of engineers. I have a concept that there are what's called proto-autistic people, kind of seed people that autism comes from. So I call them proto-autistic. I consider myself proto-autistic. My wife may be a little bit, too, because that's how we got mad. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. It's just a theory. I'd love to do some studies to see where this stuff comes from. Anyway, these were really isolated places. There weren't a lot of engineers. They tended to be spread all over the universe. And if they got married at all, which a lot of them didn't, they would get married to normal people. Everything would be all right. Now, when computers came out, all of a sudden there started to be these kinds of concentrations of these people. They would get jobs. They'd go to, there was two major places. There was a little area around Cambridge, Massachusetts, kind of an MIT sort of thing. And then there was Silicon Valley. And all the expertise in these things started to congregate in those places. All the people that were kind of that way started going to those places. Well, we found out that they weren't just guys. There were some girls. And they would marry because, you know, you tend to marry who you tend to hang out with. And all of a sudden, there was an explosion of autistic people. Oh, my gosh. Just in these places. Amazing. So they had to throw out the whole idea that autism wasn't genetic anymore. Of course it's genetic. It's hereditary. You get it kind of from your parents. Everybody says, okay, if you have an autistic kid, look around your family, and you go, who are kind of the weird ones, kind of the odd ones? You had an uncle that was odd, your father might have been odd, grandfather, yada, yada, yada. It's all right there. It's interesting. I came up with a theory based upon all this that... And I've thought about it. You have to understand, I'm also a Mormon, so I have to contemplate these things in a larger scene than most people do. Mormons believe that people, a lot of our personality is actually part of what we were before we came to Earth. We were spirits before we were born, and that our personalities were something we had as spirits as well. I don't know if we developed personality there or if we just had it. I don't know. But that this is something that may have been inborn and something that we may have or be after we die. You know, my wife, bless her heart, I love her with everything I have. I think she harbors a hope, and I'm not saying it's a bad hope either. She harbors a hope that Matt, when he comes out of the resurrection, or when he is tied down to this damaged body, quote-unquote damaged body that he has, that he'll all of a sudden be this perfect, wonderful guy. And, It kind of bothers me. It has bothered me. It's probably continuing to bother me. And I really don't... I don't want to get nailed down here because I'm not really interested in being wrong on this, because people who would think this might choose to run their life in a bad way, like saying this is just the way I am, you know, it kind of gives some credence to like being gay, and I don't want to do that. I think being gay is just wrong. I think that although you might have tendencies to go in that direction, that they should be bridled and as much as possible overcome so that you can become the kind of person you need to be. I'm trying to be like God. And in order to do that, I need to bridle those things in me which are ungodly, ungodlike. Do it that way too, okay? So therefore, even though they go, boy, you know, when I look at a guy, woohoo, it kind of stirs something in me. You go, you know what? Don't go there. Don't answer those feelings. Don't do it. You know, people say, oh, that's just unnatural. And you go, well, I don't know how natural or unnatural it is. I don't know what the feelings are inside people. I really don't. All I know is God isn't going to give you as much if you choose to go in that direction. You know, are you going to burn in hell? You know, I don't even really have a concept of exactly of what hell is. I much prefer to look at it as you just won't get as much, you know. People who go off in that direction, I don't know if they get punished or not. I really don't. All I know is you can't be like God with that kind of a circumstance. Only men and women joined together as one can do what God does. And that's it. You know, Adam and Steve can't do it. Adam and Steve aren't productive. Sorry, don't have kids. Can't be joined in that kind of a union. Can't produce children. Can't do it. Just can't. Sorry. Biology's against there. And I don't know what other things beyond that in the other world are also against it. But you don't go there. Okay, so knowing that that's a dangerous circumstance to try to figure out what God's after or to try to figure out why things are the way they are is always dangerous. Here's my theory. With plenty of caveats. I think that autism, or what we call autism, is kind of a state of being. You know, people go, oh, it's a disease, and they're searching for a cure. It's a syndrome or whatever. And that we can find some genetic bullet, we can find some pill, we can get some nutritional supplements, all kinds of things we can do to try to cure or mitigate this problem. Now, I've decided to split what people call autism into two pieces. I haven't named them. I need to someday. Because I think I've got one of the pieces. For sure. And when people sit down, they go, this, you know, a diagnosis of autism or Asperger's syndrome or something like that is really kind of interesting because it's all based on behavior. It's all based on what you're doing. And you have to have so many of these kinds of behaviors, you know, 5 out of 9, 6 out of 9, whatever, of these behaviors. And if you do, then they all stick the label on you. You're autistic. Some people only have 3 or 4, and they don't get it because they say you fall under the screen. You may be high-functioning autistic, which is just barely becoming a diagnosis. You might have Asperger's, which is just barely a diagnosis. You may have any number of these things. So, I tend to split into two pieces. Matthew, my son, what differentiates him from me is that whatever he has is coupled with a disability. He's got some problems along with his. He can't seem to process things that other people can process. There are plenty of people who have a couple of those autistic traits, like me and like many engineers and technical people and computer programmers, that we kind of, you know, we're just kind of, we're, you know, it's just odd. It's like the oddity gene. If I could, I could just say it. We're just going to start calling it odd. And it's always been there, I think. The fact that we're having so much more of it is because of this coupling and production of kids from people who have that oddity in them, and it's more likely to generate autism. Now, people say, oh, no, you know, I'm discussing with my wife, and she goes, no. She goes, because, you know, there's a lot of these people that end up having real problems dealing with, you know, that have a real disability, not just odd, disabled. Like my son, he's disabled. There's a lot of things that he just flat freaking can't do. Because he just can't process it. He's not there. I tend to split up the disability part with the oddness part. By and large, as a society, we've put them together. We said, here's autism, you know, they're the disabled odd. And you go, let's just call it a disability. That he's got a disability, but he's odd too. I'm odd, but hopefully I'm not very disabled. I seem to do okay, I think. Anyway, so I would love to get to the point to where we separate those two things out. I think it's too easy to clump it all into a thing, into one definition, and say, this is what it is, so you get classed with a person, you know, you'll have a person that's really what's considered a real mild autistic, which just has really weird quirks and has some really bad social problems, but otherwise can do productive work and is pretty functional in the world, to people who go, no, and bang their heads on walls and try to kill themselves all the time. You know, those are two definitely different people. My wife says, no, you can't do that. There's just mild autism, and then, you know, you've got a little bit of autism, and you've got a ton of it. And that's that differentiating point. You know, Jay might have a little smidge of autism, and Matt has more, and the guy who bangs his head because of sensory problems has tons and tons and tons of them. And I'd rather break it up into different things so that we can allow for the fact that, number one, it's okay to have autistic traits. We need to find a way in our society not to treat them like they're disabled, but to say these are real people. Because I have a thought, and I don't know if it's true, but I have a thought that when I go to heaven, I'm less than social. I don't like going to parties. I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like hanging out with people very much. I have my little circle, mostly my family, and that's it. People always like, well, you gotta be more extrovert. We need to bring you out of your shell. And you go, get the hell away from my shell. I like it. Get lost. You know, we're tired of trying to make everybody the same person, really outgoing, yada, yada, yada. You know, you grow tired of that. You just want people to leave you alone. Please just leave me alone. Let me do what I do. Try to do a good job, and just otherwise, no, I don't want anything to do with the rest of that stuff. It's not interesting to me. There needs to be a place where that's okay. I have the feeling that when I die, in the Mormon sense, and I am I am free of my body, that I'm still gonna be this way. This is in part what my wife loves about me. I said, how different will I be after I'm dead when I don't have some kind of a damaged body like people tend to think autistics do? How different will I be? You may not like me when I'm that way. For all I know, I'm a jerk, and the only thing that saves me from being jerky on Earth is my quote-unquote disability. You know, it isn't like I have a gimpy leg and I'm going to lose that. It isn't like, you know, people say, well, you've got a neurological problem and we can give you drugs to kind of make your neurological problem go away. And they go, I like me. I don't want me changed. Don't you screw with me just because you don't like the way I am. We can give him a pill. He can be a lot more social. And you go, I don't want to be more social. I like who I am. Okay, leave me alone. And so I have this feeling that maybe what I am, you can call it autistic or whatever else, is kind of inborn. It's just there. It isn't the cause of some genetic foul-up. It isn't like that. It may just be Jay. And it's interesting to me because I go, is that true of all these people? Is there a bunch of quote-unquote autistic spirits up there that are being sent to Earth right now because it works now? They won't be punished. They won't be burned at the stake. Whatever. Because technology's on and we need more autistic people because we need those technological leaps that autistic people can do, that normal people just kind of go, well, I just want my MP3 player to work right, because I like listening to the music. You know? Good, I'm glad we can take care of you, because hopefully they'll just leave us alone, go away. That's my theory. I hope it's not too convoluted, you know, to say that. Now, I think this has real repercussions for other things. Like ADHD, you know, we've put a label on people that are energetic, that have got so much stuff going that their brains go so fast that they can't really concentrate on one thing for very long. They don't have the kind of concentration we would expect from people, especially that schools demand that you have. So we tend to medicate it until you're kind of like, yeah, I'm really slow and easy. I can concentrate now because my brain's back down in first gear with everybody else's instead of in fifth. So, you know, how do you deal with that? It's like, I don't know. So you can look at it as it's just disability that we need to find some way to do therapy so they can deal with life. Or, give them drugs until their body chemistry is more like ours. You know, any number of things that we can do. Oh, excuse me. So you might look at that with things like ADHD, people that are just essentially different. You can say, okay, they're weird, so we're going to drug it or therapy their weirdness out of them, or at least make them more presentable. And it's like, well, wait a minute, they may have something to contribute according to what they are. Go ahead. So, you know, there's the possibility. I don't know. I'm about to the end of my thing. Give it some thought. It's certainly interesting to me. And we'll get back to you, let you know how this stuff goes. I gotta find my mouse thing again because I'm gonna sign off because my thing's over. This is Gene Ambrose, quasi-indefatigable Xanalith. That's what I am. It's just what I am. What am I gonna do? Have a great day.